This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The head of West Virginia's third largest university says college isn't just about getting a job. It's about preparing for a career.
I think the value of a four-year degree is you do job training embedded in career training. Right, so you're not just ready for your first job, you're ready for your job 30 years from now because of the things you learned on a college campus.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is provided by Hope Gas, committed to the growth and development of West Virginia to strengthen the community. Information at wvisforhope.com. West Virginia's primary elections are almost a year away, but as Chris Schultz reports, state Democrats are already raising some general concerns.
In a press release Tuesday, West Virginia Democratic Party Chair Mike Pushkin condemned the West Virginia Republican Party's decision to close its 2026 primary elections. He says the decision shuts out nearly 300,000 independent voters in the state.
We want more folks participating in the democratic process. Democracy works better when more people are voting. So we're not going to shut independents out of our primary.
The West Virginia Republican Party Executive Committee voted to hold a closed primary in January. But Pushkin says there was hope of a reversal at the party's summer meeting over the weekend. Josh Holstein, the newly elected chairman of the West Virginia Republican Party, says the party wants everyone who believes in their values and platform to join them by becoming a Republican. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Chris Schultz in Morgantown.
West Virginia would be part of a transcontinental rail network if a proposed merger is approved. Curtis Tate has more.
Union Pacific, the nation's largest railroad, has offered to buy Norfolk Southern in a deal valued at $85 billion. Norfolk Southern, based in Atlanta, has about 800 miles of track in West Virginia. They're primarily used to haul coal from southern West Virginia to the port of Norfolk, Virginia. Norfolk Southern's line across southern West Virginia has clearances for double-stack shipping containers, though, opening up the possibility of a single railroad carrying those containers from the West Coast to Norfolk. Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern trains currently switch from one railroad to another in Chicago or other points along the Mississippi River, something trucks don't have to do. It's too early to tell what impact the combined company could have on the state or on jobs. The Federal Surface Transportation Board would have to approve the deal. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
Summertime is a great time to spy butterflies in your backyard or in meadows across Virginia. Unfortunately, their numbers are declining. The Mitchell Satyr butterfly is federally listed as endangered. Scientists are working to preserve the few meadows where these elusive butterflies still exist. Radio IQ's Roxy Todd tagged along with a surveyor in Floyd County to learn more.
A swampy meadow with plenty of native grass and wildflowers is what Mitchell's satyr butterflies love best. We go looking for them on the edge of a highway in Floyd County.
People just drive on by, not even realizing they are about 20 feet from one of North America's rarest butterflies.
Derek Hennen is a field zoologist with the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation. He holds a walking stick in front of him, gently nudging the grass, searching for a tan and orange butterfly about the size of a quarter.
And so you're looking for just, you know, a dainty little butterfly. They got these nice little eye spots on their hind wings that kind of look like jewels or a little bit like a kind of liquidy eyes with teardrops in them. They're very pretty.
Mitchell's satyr once lived throughout the country. Today, they only remain in a few states, including Michigan, Mississippi, and North Carolina. They also exist here, along the Blue Ridge, in Floyd County. Because these butterflies are endangered, we aren't disclosing the exact location of this meadow. Poaching may have caused their numbers to shrink, along with habitat loss. Hennen doesn't capture the butterflies. He counts them to see how their numbers are holding up. Surveying is only possible during a small window in the middle of summer because these butterflies are only active for 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's not very surprising that it flew under the radar for so long. You know, if you're not there in that exact correct window, you're never going to see it otherwise.
We're sweating as we slowly meander through rushes and tall grasses, clumping through mud. Pink swamp rose, milkweed, and blue vervain surround us, and I catch the occasional scent of mountain mint. Other native butterflies dart by, including a couple monarchs. The Mitchell satyr are more tricky to spot. They don't fly well and usually dart beneath the grass as soon as we see one.
So see how it kind of has this bobbing flight? When there's a wind gust, it kind of goes up and they kind of freak out a little bit. But that's very telltale for these butterflies.
Every now and then, Hannon identifies one of the satyrs.
Not seeing quite as many as I'd hoped.
Hannon suspects there's a reason there are fewer butterflies than in years past. The habitat here is changing.
There's some alders coming up, and the alder is the most aggressive thing that we're kind of fighting against.
A few alders are helpful for the butterflies because they keep the moisture in the wetland. But when the trees grow too big, it pushes out the grasses they need to eat. It's a delicate balance that's always in flux. These butterflies actually prefer a slightly disturbed wetland, an area where there aren't too many trees. In the past, occasional grazing by horses on this site helped maintain the right balance. Before European settlers, natural fires also preserved this type of habitat.
And so when we reduce a lot of these fires, then we've really just removed a lot of that natural rhythm of kind of opening up habitats. And for these butterflies, they can't handle that. They just die off if that happens at a site.
Trimming back the alder trees could help, says Hennen, and that may be what's needed on this site to keep the butterflies alive. After several hours, he tallies up the numbers. 32 Mitchell satyr butterflies. Scientists counted 400 on the site 20 years ago. Despite the decline, the population seems to be holding fairly steady, and Hennen says he's optimistic about the butterfly's survival. But it will take a little help, making sure the few remaining meadows where they live can be preserved. In Floyd County, I'm Roxy Todd.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:50. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny. Humid today with a chance of afternoon thunderstorms. Highs in the 80s and 90s. Partly cloudy tonight, a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows in the 60s and 70s. Support for WVPB is provided by Dutch Miller Subaru in Charleston. Dutch Miller Automotive is proud to be dedicated to multiple community service initiatives and local charities. More about our team and the Subaru Love Promise at DutchMillerSubaru.com. Mike Davis is the president of Fairmont State University. And even though the fall semester starts back up in just a few short weeks, he is spending this week driving the length of the state in a camper van. Reporter Chris Schultz sat down with Davis to talk about the reason for the trip and the state of the university.
Well, first of all, where are you going?
When I started at Fairmont State, I said I was going to do all 55 counties in the first 2 years. So I've got about six left. So the first night when we leave, we're going to stay in Wood County and then hit Pleasance County the next day for breakfast. And then I'll head to the southern part of the state. So do McDowell, Mingo, Wyoming, Pocahontas. I've been to Mercer County, but I'm going to spend some time there too. Concord University has a new president, so I'm going to have breakfast with her. So I'm going to visit some counties I've visited before, but in more depth, and then check off those last counties I haven't visited yet.
Why is it so important for you to do trips like this and check off those last remaining six counties?
I think people forget we're the third largest institution in the state sometimes. So if I think about what a regional university is supposed to do as the largest regional university in the state, we serve all 55 counties. And I think part of it is reminding those people that we exist and that we're serving them. About half of our students nationally are educated at regional public institutions. So we really fill an important role because we're the community's university. Right, so we are attracting mostly students from West Virginia and then some from the surrounding area. But the idea is We're the right size to be flexible enough to respond to student and business leaders and state needs, but we're also large enough to be everything the students need us to be. And that's a big part of it, is a regional institution really can do things that the flagships can't or that the small privates can't because of our positioning as both a state institution, but one that's the right size for our students. And part of that is going around talking about that message with the people of West Virginia about why being the third largest means we've got all the resources we need.
We are in a difficult time across academia. You know, what is the state of Fairmont State University at this juncture?
Part of the reason I wanted to be university president is because I think that higher ed has given up the debate about the value of a comprehensive education. Nationally and regionally, there's been this push to, well, it should be just job training, just job training. And I think the value of a four-year degree is you do job training embedded in career training, right? So you're not just ready for your first job, you're ready for your job 30 years from now because of the things you learned on a college campus. And we need to get back to explaining to people how that works. And one of the things I always say too is, yes, you could go out and you can get a job, you know, as a welder, doing construction, things like that. It's really hard to be a manager or a supervisor in those areas without a college degree. So we need to find ways to make sure that people can do that first job, where they make good money coming out of college or out of high school while they're doing college alongside that. But we also need to make sure they're prepared for their entire careers. I taught political communication for years, and I would have students from, you know, nursing or other fields that would say, well, I don't really need political communication. I said, well, how are you going to advocate for the things you want when you talk to your state legislator? If you're, you know, the head of a hospital division and you have to go to the state capitol and advocate for what you care about, how do you do that, right? And the liberal arts play into all of that.
4 years is a flash in the pan. There's a lot going on. How is that influenced or impacted by the instability that we've seen over the last 6 months coming out of Washington?
One of the strengths of the regional publics is we get support from the federal government. We get support from our state governments. But at the same time, we're built to be efficient. So, you know, if we lose some of our federal grant money, we have ways that we can pivot and still support our students in the way they need to be supported. I think, you know, you look at some of these big places that are in threat of losing hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government. That's not us, right? We have a couple of programs that are federal government supported, but we have great support from the state still, not just direct support to us, but things like Promise and the West Virginia grant. So I'm really pleased with the way the state government's supporting us, and we'll ride out the ride with the federal government. The federal government's always going to change regulations, they're always going to change different levels of support. And we take advantage when that support is there. And then if we need to be a little leaner in some of our programs, we'll still find ways to support them while we wait for, you know, the federal government to figure out what they're going to do.
You talked a lot about community. What does it do for you to start your academic year by touring the broader West Virginia community?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because obviously we have a lot going on campus. So leaving for a week means when I come back, I'm going to have a lot to do to catch up. But I also know I'm going to come back energized because every time I talk to people about the promise of West Virginia, the promise of what we can do in this state, you can feel that excitement. And I think that people, again, just like I hear on campus, they need to be given permission to dream about what they can do and to think about doing something more. I think West Virginians by nature are humble. So a lot of times they don't brag about who they are, about what they do. So I think part of this is that's part of my job. And that's part of our job as leaders in West Virginia is to make sure we're bragging about these other areas so that when I say, hey, you should come to college in West Virginia, you should come work in West Virginia, people aren't like, well, why would I go to West Virginia? Instead, they can see everything we have to offer, and it becomes a destination for people. It becomes a place where people can see this greatness. I mean, people want to have beautiful natural environments, great people, right? Budding industries, all of those things exist in West Virginia, and we just need to make sure that we're stressing those. And that's why I said a lot of this tour is not about making sure people know what Fairmont State is, but about using the resources we have at Fairmont State to help highlight all the amazing things that are going on in West Virginia.
That was Fairmont State University President Mike Davis speaking to Chris Schultz about his tour of the state this week to highlight the role of higher education. To read a longer version of this interview, visit our website at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University and Marshall University School of Journalism and Mass Communications. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Maria Young, and Randy Yowie. Maria Young produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning. This is WVPB Charleston, WVBY Beckley, WVBL Bluefield, WVPW Buchanan, WVWV Huntington, WVEP Martinsburg, WVKM Matewan, WVPM Morgantown, WVPG Parkersburg, WVDS Petersburg, WVWS Webster Springs, WVNP Wheeling, and we're online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Public Broadcasting. It's 8 o'clock.